Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It must be Wednesday night. This is co-producer, about to start the premiere podcast, The Attic. Weekly, we get together and give you Patterson's Own. The Attic is comprised of co-producer, the messenger, baby sister, baby brother, Nurse Carmen, Sister Pearl, and from Florida, Sister Sunshine. Hey, listen, sit back, relax, prepare to be entertained. And just in case you're wondering, that smooth beat you hear in the background, it cannot be duplicated or imitated. You got to come to Ohio to get that. And when you get here, you got to see AKA The Menu. Let's get ready for the show. Good evening. This is your man, Petey Green.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's where the co-producer at tonight. That's where the co-producer is at tonight, all right? We're gonna talk about some shit. Hey, but welcome to The Attic, everybody. Hey, this is Wednesday's night, hour of hopefully laughter, entertainment. And some real shit that make you say, what the hell was they thinking? I got one podcast change that I want to get out there, and that is Sister Purr, effective this show, is no longer Sister Purr. She is now Sister Tippy. Okay, so okay. Everybody... Sister Purr, no longer Sister Purr. She is now Sister Tippy. Okay. So now that I got that out.
Is that short for tipsy?
I didn't go that deep into the to the message.
Oh,
man.
Okay.
It's just a tippy. Hey, but listen. This is again every Wednesday night we get together and try to bring you what's happening in the nation, but again from a little different perspective that you might not hear on the big news channels. See, we so special that we kind of underground without being underground, if you know what I'm saying. But what I'm really saying is we try to talk to you about things that are going on in the world today. And again, being black, that's the only perspective I can speak from. I don't care who tells me that they can speak for. I don't care who tells me they can speak for a black person and they're not black. You can give a lot of reason. You can give a lot of logic. But there's some places you will never be able to reach or be able to really, really understand. Would the cast agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, totally.
Sure.
Yeah, because again, you know, tonight we're going to talk about some unjust shit. Again, and when I say unjust, I meant the senseless killing of the black man. The senseless killing. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not just about the senseless killing of black people. This is about the senseless killing of all people. That's why the title, the topic of this podcast is We Matter. Not I, not you, we, collectively. Because as the messenger teaches us, we're all part of one. And again,
that's
I think when we understand that, it would help us get to where we need to get a lot faster. But nonetheless, here we are. And when I say here we are, we talk about just unjustified shooting of people. Let's start there. We're going to narrow it down in a minute. We're going to narrow it down. But the unjustified shooting of people with little to no recourse. It just don't seem right that we as a nation would allow that. And it do. I have a real hard time understanding how it. Now, again, I'm just going to give it to you from the way I see it. You look at all these mass murders, and I don't mean all as in 100%. I mean all as in the greater percentage. Look at all these mass murders. I mean, caught with weapons, shooting people, doing harm. I mean, taking lives. But for some reason, you always see them on the news with handcuffs on being walked from the crime scene. Can anybody understand where I'm going?
It's called apprehending the suspect.
Apprehending the suspect. So, again, you rolled up on me. I'm in a school just taking lives senselessly. But when it's understood that I'm not black or I'm not Muslim or from the Islamic nations, it's so amazing that police officers can now utilize the good training that they get, and they get good training.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can utilize that training and make a proper arrest. But when it comes to the lives of black Americans, their lives are always, they're fearing for their lives. You stop a black man on a traffic stop, I'm more fearful for my life than if I report to a crime scene where somebody's up there actually getting shots off. They're shooting. But I'm more fearful for my life in that situation with a black motorist than I am at an actual crime scene. Hey, I mean, that's absolutely deplorable. That's horrible. And that it should be allowed to permeate in this nation. I do. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. How is that allowed? And what? I'm sorry. What kind of what fucking who the hell just want to just hurt people just to hurt them because we're in a different race? I mean, don't get me wrong. Not trying to sound naive. I understand there's a big population that want to do that, but just think about that on any kind of human level. I want to hurt you. I want to do harm to you. I want to bring about your demise because you're not the same color as I am. That's sick. That's sick. But nonetheless, that's what we have to deal with. What was the last mass shooting we just had? That was a synagogue up in Pittsburgh, correct?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. You figure... Just a quick fact before we talk about that. Do you know? And I'm laughing out of fear, not out of straight humor. In 2018, there have already been 297 mass shootings.
Wow.
297 mass shootings in this nation already.
Wow.
Since when? What was the statistic? What was the
This is just 2018 statistics.
Wow.
And again, as I like to say, we're going to narrow that down in a minute also. But but here you talk about, I mean, is that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah. That just lets you know that it's not getting better. As you said, it's getting worse. But you got to blame the head. Because that rhetoric that he be spewing out, it doesn't help the situation at all.
And I agree with you. But, in fact, I was watching a report the other day, and it said, if you think about it, the evil shit that people do calling themselves a Trumper or, you know, Make America Great campaign. Trump don't ask them to do it, but he don't ask them to do it, but he don't disavow them motherfuckers when they do it.
Like, right.
I didn't ask you to do that, but it was kind of heroic what you did. I'm just saying that's how he goes. So, you know, if you were a supporter of his, again, he never. I'm pretty sure he's not asking anybody to do that crazy shit. I can't say that he ain't happy that it's being, or he ain't all right with it being done. But I don't think that he's telling people to do that. But if you support him,
no, he's not telling them. But when you spew out that type of nonsense, like you're not helping the situation either. Because this last incident, from my understanding, the gentleman that they apprehended on this, he did it based on that caravan, and that's that stuff that, you know, the Trump and the Republicans have been talking about, that is, they're on their way here, and they've got smallpox and all these different kinds of things, diseases that they're bringing with them, and it's all lies.
Oh, my.
So he did that out of fear. He thought he was helping by going to the synagogue and doing that, because he was, you know, so he thought he was doing the right thing in his sick, twisted mind.
Wow. But, you know, even, but I'll tell you this much, though. In this nation, the Jewish population, pretty much not to be fucked with, man. I'm just saying. I'm willing to bet
you. You better say it. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I'm willing to bet you. I don't know how much sterner shit will get, but there'll be a few changes now. Huh? I mean, no disrespect. I'm saying I got mad love for the power that the Jewish folks have in this. I mean, I wish I had that kind of juice. I wish we had that kind of juice. But now that you're messing with the synagogue, you're messing with a different type of shit now. You're messing with a different type of shit. And you're messing with some shit from people who are not Americans but really believe they own this country. That's what you're messing with. Why everybody got quiet?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right.
No, because
me.
I mean, truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a whole different situation now.
Yeah, you look at,
because when they were going into Baptist churches and, you know, and shooting them up, that was one thing, you know. But like you said, the Jewish community, that's a whole different realm right there. None of them are no better than, you know, than the Baptist churches or anything like that. And that's not what I'm saying, but it's a whole different situation when you start attacking them, because they feel deeply about that Holocaust and all that other stuff. And, you know, so you're opening up a whole different situation.
Well, they own the communication media in this country. Therefore, I didn't even know what that was, but therefore they've got a big handle in everything in this country. I don't care what you might think. So the fact that they disrespected the synagogue again, which really has, I mean, probably about as much value as a church, and we all know how much value that has. But nonetheless, that religion believes in those. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know on what level, but when it's all said and done, the price they pay, they're going to pay, and I don't know who they are. But fucking with that synagogue, man, is going to be a lot steeper than the prices people have paid in the past. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, we go from, as far as moving from mass murders to unjust black murders, you know, those numbers are even greater. Those numbers are even greater. And we as a nation, and you know, it's midterm election, and this is not my voter push right now, but it's midterm election, and we're out here trying to send a message. But let me ask you a question. How is it that as a nation we have sunken or lowered ourselves to the point where taking of a black American's life really has no value to the nation? How the hell do we get there? You can take black lives and nobody say shit, man. Police officers just walk up on you and smoke your ass just for no reason, and nobody's saying shit about it.
Remember, there
was not valued. We're not valued.
There was a time in this country that was the norm.
That's right. It's not how we get there. We've been there always. It's just more prominent now.
Absolutely. Yep. And they just don't. They don't value. They just don't value. You know.
And Trump.
They just don't value.
Trump ain't,
I'm sorry.
Trump's not calling people out by name like go do this, but the way he's talking, it's kind of like a coded message. They get it, and they go out there and react.
Right.
Well, I mean, anytime. What's it? Anytime you want to do what anytime you want to do what some might call some foul shit, but the president of the United States got to okay that foul shit, of course that emboldens you to do it and to make you do it on bigger stages. Now, again, I just think that as a nation, we've allowed ourselves, and again, he might have cheated a little bit, but we've allowed ourselves to get suckered into not voting and let him get his ass in office in the first place. So we're going to take some of the blame for this shit. We're going to share in this right now. Now, again, he 45 totally off the goddamn hook, but he didn't just walk into the White House. Once he got there, he took over. But he didn't just walk in and take over. His votes got him there.
And one of the things that we have to do also is we've got to take blame for, you know, you talk about the cops killing. We kill ourselves just as much as the cops do, too. So we've got to start valuing our life a little bit more. If we stop killing each other, then we can perform a united front. But as long as we killing each other, that makes them think it's all right. If you killed them, what's wrong with me killing them? Because we killing each other. See if you can find a fact on how many black-on-black crime there was this year.
Yeah, but if he owed me money, that's different. If he owed me money, that's different than...
You ain't loan nobody more than $1,000.
I'm just saying, but if it goes in my pockets, that's justified how much I
He was in my pockets, man.
But you're right, though, man. I mean, you know, people just don't value life like that anymore. And you know, and again, we talk about black-on-black crime. It's sad that here's my take on that. And we're going to get back to this mass shootings and just killing the black folks in a minute. But my take on that is it became real, real clear to black people that if you're going to do crime, if that crime is against another black person, I'm going to smack you on the hand. But if that same crime is against a white person, I'm pretty much going to cut your fucking head off. So you learn early in life, if I'm going to do crime, now don't get me wrong, crime is an organization. Crime is a business. So to say nobody's doing crime, that makes us all idiots. So if you set your mind out that you're going to be a career criminal, and people do that, for whatever reason, you know that I'm going to try to bring more harm to the black race, because if I get caught, my penalty ain't going to be as stiff as if I get caught doing that same crime to the white race. So black-on-black crime is something that is institutionally put into us from deep in our DNA. That's what I believe. That's all I'm saying.
I know, kind of like religion too, right? Well, my bad.
Exactly. No, it's the same kind of shit. That's what I'm saying. But you know,
well, we
got to
do better. We got to break that. We got to break that cycle. Got to do better.
But see, let me say this to you, okay? And hear me well. Whenever a lot of people talk about the police brutality, unarmed killing, sure, what about the black-on-black crime? But listen, black-on-black crime, them niggas ain't paid to protect each other. That's not their... Don't get me wrong, and please hear me out. That's not their job to protect and serve. It shouldn't be their job to rob. So when I say, or when we say police brutality, unnecessary killing of black Americans, that ain't even in the same conversation as, well, we killing ourselves. That's a whole different conversation.
Well,
so,
it is.
We're not paid to protect. We should do that out of just understanding who we are, but that's not our job. So when my job is to protect, but I turn that job into a authorized way to kill black people. No, man, that's wrong.
No, no, without a doubt, though, without a doubt it's wrong, and I'm not trying to justify it. What I'm saying is if we stop doing it, then what we can do is we can rise up against them. I mean, we can stand up straight against them instead of, you know, what I, that's what I'm talking about. By no means am I justifying anything at all. I'm just trying to look at a perspective where we could do something against that. That's what I'm saying. If we stop killing ourselves and start standing up, then they wouldn't be able to come in there and kill us so easily. That's what I'm. That's the point that I'm making. But by no means am I saying it balances out. I'm just saying we've got to start respecting ourselves so that they know you just like a good example, like the way we were just speaking about the Jewish community and what happened at that church. They know somebody getting ready to pay for this. You just don't go in there and do that because they stick together. They're going to be united.
They're united. They're more united.
You get a strong J for that. Yeah, you get a strong J for that.
I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just trying to say that we can combat it a little better, and that would slow them down. If we show some respect for each other first. So that way, if we have respect for each other, when we see a cop doing something, we would take more of a stand for it instead of just recording it. You know what I mean? We would do more. But right now, we so busy trying to get out the way to make sure that it ain't us
and again, we
don't even care about that life.
But that's real. Because when a cop, you drive down the street and you see a cop got a brother pulled over. I mean, it's wrong, but subliminally, you be thinking, damn, glad that shit ain't me, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I understand.
And we shouldn't have to think that way.
Right.
We shouldn't have to think that way. But I got some.
Right, yeah, no, I'm not telling nobody to go out there and become a statistic. I'm just saying, let's say we were more united. Instead of it one going out there, it'll be 20 going out there. It'll be 25 going out there.
Like right. Minister Farrakhan's movement, peacemakers, man.
Yeah. Well, that's what we can do. We can make you think twice. All right, if you shoot this one, then you ain't gonna win. You ain't got enough bullets to take care of all of us.
See, but you know what? And I hear what you're saying, but that requires organization. That requires motherfuckers being on a schedule. That means after you work, go home, take care of the kids. You know, handle wifey. Now I got to go out on a 2-hour patrol. I mean, you see where I'm going with that?
No, yeah, but what I'm saying is if you're doing all of that, you ain't going out, and because you ain't going out,
you ain't in the
midst of that. But there are many people that are out there that didn't take care of misses or the kids. They just out there. And those people are the ones. If you happen to be out there, then you do it, but you don't have to make no special trip. We everywhere.
Okay, I got you.
You know what I mean?
I'm just saying
that's the United Front. Because sometimes we'll see somebody do something, and then we go to that snitching. We ain't snitching and all of that. But the person was wrong. So if we stood up a little bit more, then people couldn't walk all over us.
So we can snitch, but just not on black people.
When I say wrong, like you said, we know everybody's doing a little something. So it depends on the severity. Of what it is that was done, huh? What's that?
If I didn't say the word right, I got us closer, man. It's a very.
All
right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
He said, yeah, that shit. Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Sister Sunshine?
Good,
Good evening, family. Good evening, everyone. Sorry I'm late to the party.
Hey. No. Party. If the party don't start, to Florida get up in the house. Hey. Well, we just talking about sisters killing the black people. You know, this shit here, sisters killing the black people, just got a little chart here I'm looking at. This ain't nothing new. I mean, as I'm sure we all
creation.
Know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Only difference now is they were trained and the law allowed it. That's what got it started. Now they don't understand or they won't accept the fact that shit is no longer cool, man. But you can go back to like 1999. We talk about Margaret Laverne Mitchell, handicapped woman. LAPD just took her out. LaTanya Haggerty, passenger in a car in 99. Police just shot her. Again, these are just senseless murders for being the color you are. Now, I know everybody remember my man Amadou Diallo from New York.
New York.
Yeah, police officer, African brother. I mean, again, they just shot this. But, what you know, I'm going to take a sidebar for a minute. And I'm going to tell our age. How many people remember Tawana Brawley?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Remember
that story,
I said, as far as actual reporting of shit like this, she was like the first one that I could remember. Because remember her and Pagonis had that old bullshit where she faked to be kidnapped, but instead she was fake. You know what? I'm sorry. I transitioned to a story that ain't about murder, but Tawana Brawley was on my mind, so I had to bring that up, y'all. So I had to get that out the way because I was doing some research earlier and found out, do you know that ever since that incident, she's been living in, like, hiding?
Really? Wow.
She's down in Virginia. I mean, okay, you told a lie. Well, you tried to cover some shit up. Let it go, yo. Let it go. But getting back to the senseless murders, man. I mean, you know, we got Sean Bell, 2006. Trying to see where was he at? He was closely married the next morning.
Party.
Yeah, coming outside of Queens. Yeah, and they just popped him, yo. But I mean, and again, and this is goes back to what I opened up with. People talk about sensitivity training. Police need better training. I say bullshit. That's what I say. I say the police are trained just fine. But if you a racist cop and your desire is to do damage to whoever you are racist against, all the training in the world, it's not going to stop that. So when they talk about they fear for their life, I'm sorry. I'm sure the average person, and I know police are special human beings, but the average person would probably fear more going to a crime scene where there's actual shooting, a live shooter crime scene, than a traffic stop. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand most traffic stops can turn into a deadly situation, but I'm just saying, you can go and bring down a mass shooter, a mass murderer. Now, I bet you if they was out there looking at, if there was another mass murderer and they got up to the spot where he was, and that joker was black.
Yeah, he'd be dead.
Yeah. All you're gonna see is a body wrapped in sheets coming down the steps. So again, I don't know how the hell. Well, I know how the hell you fix this. You gotta have people in the community, of the community, policing the community. I mean, I'm a firm believer in that. I don't believe that you should have all black. Well, I was going to say Beverly Hills, but there's a lot of black, rich black folks up there also. But if you have a neighborhood, the quantity, I think that the majority of your neighborhood, of the personnel in your neighborhood, should reflect the police in your neighborhood. Is that wrong? How does that sound? Nobody.
I think they would be able to relate. I mean, in terms of, like you said, with being, you know, a black person, you would know the plight, so you would be able to relate better and understand that, you know, a lot of black people talk using their hands. You know, it's a lot of hand movement. So if you're white, you might take that like, oh, he's coming at me. You know what I'm saying? So you don't really understand how we get down, so to speak, or how we talk. So therefore, they're saying something to you. You taking it one way when it actually really means something else. And also, I think as black people, too, we have to be more accountable, too, of how we handle ourselves when we are stopped and stuff by the police. You know, because you know they're already out. The odds are already. So you have to be more aware, more mindful of how you react to them also. You know, they telling you to get out the car. You don't want to get out. They telling you don't move, but you move in anyway. I mean, so little things like that. Now, again, it never justifies killing anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But, I mean, we just have to be more mindful also, because white people can say what they want to say to a cop, and it's not taken in any kind of manner. But when we say something back, then it's like we're resisting arrest or they start feeling threatened for their lives. So we just have to be a little bit more mindful on that note of how to conduct ourselves, I guess, when we are stopped. It would help. It would save a lot of lives, because even if as long as you're able to walk away to see another day, you can always get a lawyer and go back and press your charges or do whatever you need to do. But don't stand up there and talk no junk back and forth with them, because you're not going to win. You're just not.
You know,
actually, the policeman's job, when they're talking to you, that's why you got to remember that. You have the right to remain silent. And the more you talk, you're incriminating yourself to get them to do whatever they're going to do to you.
But what if I ain't done shit, man? It doesn't
make a difference to them.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying, but when they rolled up on you, and you know you ain't done shit, let's keep it 100. You ain't got no guns. You ain't got no weed. You ain't got no paraphernalia in your car. You just an average motherfucker. I'm just saying, you out chilling. But when that cop rolled up on you, now you know my car's clean. I've done nothing wrong, and he start giving you the business. It's kind of hard sometimes. I mean, don't get me wrong. You see that pistol on his side.
But you want to live to see another day. You want to live to see another day. You can always go get you a lawyer, fight that, do whatever you need to do. But if you go back and forth with him at that exact moment, you might not make it out of that situation.
See, and
you might
again,
not make it out of that.
And that's fucked up, man. That's fucked up that as a nation, that's where we are. You drive, watch it. You know, you were growing up, you out, and a cop pull you over, and you got your white friends with you. Man, I mean, you sit in the car like you having a fucking heart attack, man. You got your boy asking the cop for his badge number, who your patrol sergeant, and ain't no shots going off. And then you
They can talk to them in that manner, but we can't. We can't.
And you know what? Again. But you know what?
He's not the target in the car for the black people. You know, he's the one white person. He's not the target, so he's going to get that off.
But here's my thing.
To them, when we start talking back, we're getting smart with them. Oh, you want to be smart, huh? And then the whole thing escalates to something different. We can't talk to them like the way another, like someone white can speak to them. It's just, that's just how that is. It shouldn't be. You know, what goes for them should be able to go for us and vice versa. But that's not the playing field that we're on. We can't speak to them in that same tone. Oh, I know my rights. You know, what's your name? What's your badge? We can't come at them like that. Are you kidding? Because to them, you're getting smart and you're being nasty with them. And now, like I said, it shifts the whole atmosphere of what's getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're resisting arrest, you know, or now they feel threatened. But again, somebody white can say those same things to them and they're not threatened or, you know, in any way at all.
And again, if you see that happening, and this is when we get into that whole thing that we podcast on sometime called privilege. And this is what I say to a lot of people who might not understand it. When I talk about privilege, there is nothing, there ain't a damn thing a white person got to do to exercise privilege. They ain't got to do shit. There ain't no code word. There ain't no secret signs. All they got to do is be on the set, and I guarantee you, most cases, they're going to get treated a whole lot better than the average black person. And they, and again, so when I say privilege, this again, there's nothing a white person's got to do other than be white to be afforded that luxury called privilege, man. And again, that's just, it's good for them. Don't get me wrong, because I wish I had it to the rest of the world who's not white and don't get that privilege that's automatically given to you just because you're white. Man, that sucks, man. You know, I was, when I moved out to Ohio, and this is a true story, I was coming home, and this is way, I say like Bernie Mac say, way back in the day, long time ago. I'm coming home, and I was drinking, and I don't drink and drive at all now. And the police officer pulled me over, and I showed him my license plate. I'm sorry, my driver's license. Yo, this police officer looked at my license and told me, the commissioner don't like us giving tickets to the people in these particular complexes. Have a nice evening. Yo, I'm going to tell you something. When I got home, I called all my bros from back in Jersey. Like, yo, I said, like Biggie Small said, you ain't going to believe the shit that just happened to me. And then I got mad because to the white driver, that's commonplace, man. So when it happened to me, I was happy as hell. I'm like, God damn. I even donated money to the police department for a couple of years. But I'm saying that, I'm serious. That shit felt nice, man. Like, you know, you could have gave me a ticket. And back then, I probably had seven more scotch and waters than I should have. So you could have rolled me up. But the fact that I was coherent enough to drive, he let me go home. Because I wasn't slagging, you know, I'm an old Marine, so I could drink a little bit. Just a very little bit. But I'm serious. He told me that and let me go home. And I sat in the car on the way home. I was like, I feel like I hit the lottery, man. Because that was, I'm sorry, that was a good-ass feeling. And then I started to think, well, goddamn, there's a certain group of people that get to feel that shit all the time. Mm-hmm. Now I got mad, man. Then I got mad. But again, that privilege that I talk about, white America, you have got to do nothing to get it except be born white. And you have no idea, because you get it so automatically, you have no idea of what we're really talking about when we say you always have the upper hand. You I can't explain that to you. That's some shit you got to live. But hey, that was just my take on that. What's going on with everybody? What else is happening in the world today?
Well, we had those pipe bombs sent to a lot of the Democratic Party, different people, different officials that they received.
Is that crazy? Whoever that was. Well, what's his name?
I forget. He's from the beautiful Sunshine State.
So you knew him. so you knew him.
And you know, he was homeless. He like lived in his van, and his mother lives in a very affluent neighborhood too. And people said he was, like, sleeping in the van in the parking lot of her development.
Mm.
His name was Cesar Sayoc. Sayoc. S-A-Y-O-C. Yeah, Cesar.
And he was also African. He wasn't killed or anything, right? They have
no.
Him,
nope.
he was, okay.
No, what's it? Did you hear his last name, I said? Sayoc?
Sayoc.
Sayoc, yeah. That don't sound like no brother. He can. Was it? Okay,
no,
we'll spend millions. Yeah, we'll spend millions of dollars taking him to trial, but we'll let him live.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, again, this fool was This fool was trying to take out the whole Democratic front at one time. He said, no, we not going to play. He going to settle all family business right now. He tried to take them all out, son.
Do you know Rush Limbaugh was having a conversation about him afterwards, and on his radio show that I think it's online or something. He was saying how he has a question on the factuality of the story, because he was trying to say, like, the windows, those pictures, those stickers he had in his windows, they didn't seem faded. How could he ride around in the Florida sun with all those stickers and no one called the police, and how come they wouldn't get faded in the sun? He was alluding to the fact that it was a false story. There was no way that person could ride around in a van like that and nobody pick up on those clues. And no one asked questions, like he'd be on no one's radar. That's what he was telling his listeners, not to be fooled.
And who was that?
Rush Limbaugh.
Not Rush.
Rush.
Well, I mean, look at here. The details of how, watch this, they call him Mr. Sayop. He said his bombs around trying to kill influential or top Democratic leaders, but they refer to his ass as Mr. But anyway, he was apprehended. Paint a gripping picture of a hectic week in America, where authorities rushed to find a man sending live explosives to some of the nation's most powerful and prominent politicians. All of this shit, they said, they had one fingerprint, and that's how they used one fingerprint to catch his ass. But here go the thing, though. Watch this. He going to court, y'all.
He lived to see another day.
And that's what I'm saying. Damn the police, man. Damn the police. I mean, not the police, because we need police. And again, I got two stepbrothers that were police. But I'm saying, them, you crooked-ass cops, not even, what's this? I'm sorry. I'm from New Jersey. Even the crooked cops, I got love for you. It's the racist cops I got a problem with. I mean, you know, all police should be straight and clean. But if you take a little off the top, I mean, I kind of get that. You bust, you go to a bus, and there's like $10 million in cash. Look, you take a little college fund. Hey, nobody's doing nothing, all right? But anyway, but the racist cop, no toleration for you at all, man. And again, it's harmful, or it is even sad that you want to take somebody's life. And I'm sorry, I keep saying that. And it's something that's so interwoven in the fabric of our nation that it's always going to be here. But just think about it. I mean, I get mad at white people sometimes, but how the hell can you just hate and want to kill or destroy a race of people only because of the color of their skin, man? You know, when I say that's awful, man. How the fuck do we get there? That's because you're black, it doesn't matter what you offer to society. Because you black, no, you can't date my daughter. Because you black, I got a fear of you that's a little greater than I have for teenage boys your age because you black. That's not fair. And let me tell you something. Psychologically, if you think that don't damage the young mind, now don't get me wrong. It don't damage you to the point where you got to start doing stupid shit. It damages you to the point where it makes you stronger and more readily available to deal with this bullshit as you grow up, because I'll tell you this, I don't give a fuck who you are, how rich you are. If you are super rich, now you got to stay with me for a minute, in that category of super rich, you felt that racism too. Now, when you take that super rich and put his ass around average motherfuckers, then you still back to being super rich. But in that category of riches that you're in, if you're black, white folk will still look at you like you are still less than them. Can anybody disagree with that or think I'm off the mark with that?
No.
I'll agree with myself. I mean, again, so it don't make it wrong. It don't make it right. But I'm just saying that's some shit that we have to deal with. I don't even know.
Well, they look at us that way because they just don't, they don't value us as a people, as a race. They just don't value us.
See, and that's fucked up.
And
man.
They feel that they feel superior, and that's how they've always felt. And believe
yeah,
it or not,
always
they're going to continue to
feel
that way.
Yeah,
they always will.
But how, I mean, you know, and it's funny because I don't know. It's funny because. I have a lot of white friends. You know, I interact every day with white people. White people are in my business ventures, and we work together. But it's funny that when we think about that, so I guess I want to say I'm not talking about those white people. I'm talking about mm-hmm. the white folk up in the Senate because, again, it is the understanding. Now, again, to a greater capacity that will allow this movement to move forward. Because when this movement moves forward, you have white and black in the movement, as opposed to the other movements we've had, it was just all black. I think the fact that you have a lot of white people who come to, who accept and understand the fact that to be black in America, man, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to go nowhere, but yeah, it's pretty fucked up for us, man. It is.
But I have a question. Do you really have a white friends? I mean, at the end of the day, what do you really know? What do they do when they shut their door, when they go in their car, when they go in their home? What do you really know?
Well, now, see, what you know there, I hear baby sister in the back cracking up right now, but just let this be. I guess that's an inside joke. But what you know is, I don't know what you know, but just like a friend is a friend, and
right.
until you know, and again on all levels, until that person steps outside of bounds, then
right.
that friend is still a friend. You know, again,
right.
and I really had to learn that lesson spending time on active duty in the Marine Corps.
Right.
I mean, we've been in some, and you know what? It's so funny. I don't even know how we got from pipe bombs to black and white relations, but we're going to go with it. But it's so funny that when we got on that aircraft and we left CONUS, Continental United States, it was like when you hit a certain parallel in space, you automatically just became brothers.
Mm.
And I'm serious. It was just like it wasn't a black American. It wasn't a white American. It was just we were soldiers. We did some
right.
wild shit together. We were soldiers. Now, don't get me wrong. Racism is always going to peak its head up. But when we were overseas, it was that's what that was. It was a peak up. It didn't stay up. But watch this, man. Here go that good old American home teaching. On the plane coming back, just like when we hit that parallel that bonded us together, we hit that parallel, and you see each other slide just a little bit apart. It don't take long to go back. And it's the weirdest thing. Now, don't get me wrong. After you spent time with your brother over there, it's better than it's probably ever going to be. But when you come back to the States, there's some shit that changes. And let me tell you, that's not with everybody, soldiers. So the soldiers listen to my podcast. Don't feed into that bullshit, all right? The Sergeant Hodge talking. God damn it. That'll get him in line. It's Sergeant Hodge talking, God damn it. But I'm sorry. Let's get back on task. I went off task. But with the bombs, these bombs that were sent to who? The Clintons got them. Barack.
Obama.
I mean,
Michelle.
Michelle, yeah.
Biden. Biden got one.
Robert Nero.
Yeah, so again,
and,
it was, what's it?
And I think it was, wasn't it some kind of Jewish billionaire?
Yeah.
That got one?
Hey, Maxine Waters got two.
Yeah.
And Debbie Wasserman Schultz here, she got one.
See? I mean,
the FBI got one.
Did Eric Holden get one?
Eric
no,
one
he was
here.
On the list,
yes,
though.
Oh, did he get him in?
He got one. Oh, I don't know.
I thought he
delivered.
Did.
No, he was on the list. His wasn't delivered yet.
But let me tell you, you know, When I worked with the post office in Jersey, when they had those mail bombs going around Jersey, no shit. There was a package that sat in my office next, about 50 feet from my desk for 3 days. Watching for three motherfucking days. And when the day they delivered it, my man was home and opened it, and that shit blew up. That's right. That shit blew the fuck up. And I'm sitting in there. Now you got the inspectors in the office and all that kind of shit. But, I mean, hey, what are you going to do now? And plus, I didn't even think about it until they kept asking me, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, man. And I wasn't trying to be no hero, but that shit is over now. Ain't no need to be whatever at this point. But they kept asking me, and all of a sudden I started thinking, damn, if that box would have blew up in here, y'all be having somebody else as a co-producer right now. that wouldn't have been good, man. But, you know, I hate that people give my U.S. Postal Service a bad name by mailing that shit through the mail system. But in fact, it shouldn't even be allowed to get through the mail system. Some of those packages didn't even have like postmarks on them.
Right.
So it was a lot more elaborate scheme than what meets the eye. But again, there's some sick bastard out there that wanted to take the whole Democratic leadership or top Democratic people out of the mix, man.
But you got to ask yourself, why is that? Because all of them were pretty much people that criticized, the president.
45. Again, they think that because they understand how he rolled.
Right.
Notice how he rolls is not that he told him to do that, but that man is probably he's probably sitting up in jail somewhere waiting on his pardon to come down. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just saying, all this shit was already worked out. You didn't say one bomb. No, not two bombs. Not three bombs. Not four bombs. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And watch this. I'm just hoping it is. I really hope this is a joke. But hey, listen, if that self bitch walk in about 2 or 3 months after, because everything is only relevant in the present. About 3 weeks from now, 45 will be done. Gonna be done. Some other shit that this ain't gonna be important anymore. And next thing you know, they gonna be doing small business loans to the man.
They asked the president, was he going to contact, any of the officials that received these bombs, that he said, I think, what was it, something like, I'll pass, or, something really.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah, something that really shows who the fuck he is, man.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it was. So it was some dumb shit that shows, look, man, this is who I am. And I love what he said.
I told y'all.
Thank you. Just say, don't be acting surprised. What the fuck y'all thought?
Right.
This is who I've always been.
That's right.
But you know what?
But I mean, you can at least pretend. At least say you're going to do it. Lie and say you're going to do it like you do everything else.
But watch this. He get caught in lies. He don't just tell lies to be telling lies. He be lying because they be asking him shit he don't know. He didn't instead of they be in the briefing him on shit, and he tweeting. You can't pay attention, man. what I'm saying? So when they ask him a question, he remember bits and pieces of what the fuck somebody said to him, and then he feel the rest in himself. Like you got the Caribbean.
But do you know what would have happened if Obama would have responded that way? If they asked Obama, was he going to contact, any of these Republican officials that got, had bombs sent to them, and he said, I think I'll pass or something like that. Do you know how the media and the world would have lost their mind, the country would have lost their mind after that?
Yeah.
Yep, yeah.
But you know what? We'll never know because Obama didn't play that bullshit, man.
Right.
Yeah. But again,
it's just the stuff he gets away with is mind blowing. It's just mind blowing.
Well, let me tell you, I'm reading a book. Now, I ain't even going to go there. about Obama's presidency. I'm going to say that for another show. But all I mean, one thing, that man came into the White House with no knowledge of any lawmaking ability whatsoever. All he had now, he had good contract knowledge because he never kept them. But he didn't have any political experience, and I'm sorry, I got to keep saying, they almost legitimately voted his ass in. Now, because mm-hmm. he is, because who he is, Buster, he had that fifth ace in the deck, then he in. All I'm saying is, it was close enough for them to cheat. So, we got to wear this shit, man. And we got to be sad and knowing that there's a great, a large part of this goddamn country. And I always say GOT for my church listeners who think there's such a thing as blasphemy. So so he got a whole lot of people believing in what he believes in. Or, excuse me, they all Power Ranger up type shit. They get together with what he believes in. And, again, there was a lot of people who voted for that shit. Now, again, they stole the election. It appears that. But there's still, look at the number of votes he got. That's how many people we got in this country that's for that separatist, separation, that racist type shit. If you ain't rich, we don't give a damn about you. I mean, that's how many. And the sad part is most of those people are damaged by the same policies they praise. You talk about a big ass. You talk about a big tax cut. I don't see that. You didn't really feel that. But they buy in that shit though. They buy in it because
and that tax cut got the country in some serious debt because of that tax cut. It didn't do anything great for not for the middle class or the poor. That was strictly for the rich.
Care.
That's why they're not running on that on this campaign. You don't hear any of them talking about that tax cut.
Because listen, the economy is doing better. But you know what? And I gotta be fair. I want to say it, and I'm gonna say it ain't really because of his ass. It's because of shit that Obama already had in place. But he is the prez while the shit is happening, so he get the credit for that. But everybody knows that ain't your shit, man. But you still get the credit for that. But you so busy keeping mischievous shit going, you don't even focus on the little bit of good shit that's happening in this country. Because you know that ain't your shit. And again, his ego, we'll talk about it, but I ain't trying to claim that I ain't do that shit. He one of them type guys. So I said that, again, to segue right into, if you don't get your ass out to the polls and vote, then sit your ass down when 45 gets an hour long in his sunbed and takes 2 5-hour energies and start ripping his country apart even faster. And again, and if you haven't guessed, you damn right, I'm trying to turn blue to red. I posted on my Facebook page. Again, you got to get your ass out. And again, we have to start letting our voice be heard. This is not one of those bootleg-ass elections, and I know the one for the president is a bootleg where somebody other than your votes make the choice. If you get your ass to the poll, if you're tired of the way shit is going right now, if you're tired of the way shit is, you know what? Just keeping it bipartisan. If you like the way shit is going right now, get your ass to the poll. But I'm willing to bet that there's millions more that don't like it. So we got to vote, and we got to set this shit straight, because I'm going to tell you something. If we don't send this message during the midterm, then we in for a long-ass summer, y'all. So, again, that's my voter drive. 60 seconds left before we end this podcast. Hey, Cass, I enjoyed you tonight. As always, I like to keep the conversation provocative. And again, from a perspective that we share, this is the Hodge to Hodge podcast with friends. And again, we're all pretty much from the same area. So when what we view is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I want to say good night to everybody. And let's say good night, podcast. And we'll get together
good night.
Next Wednesday.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Don't forget to vote, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we're going to vote. I'm talking about people out there in radio that's listening. Y'all make sure y'all get out and vote.
Baby boy, what you got? Baby bruh, excuse me. You got any final words for us today?
Okay, then you call me tomorrow.
All right. Okay. Good night. How's the Hodge podcast out?
Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.